Hello, today is March 11th, and we're here with a bunch of stories, but most of them are about a certain virus that we cannot name.
And it's not a silicon-based virus.
It's literally like half the block. This episode is just stories about that, but they are relevant to technology. But it's stopping everything, so. But we'll get started.
It's we talked last time about how there's this kind of war on encryption, and it's like we need to know what everybody's doing at all times so that we can make sure that it is sanctioned and legal for, you know, ostensibly, you know, something we should be worrying about. But you know who has an ally in that sort of war on any kind of privacy? We need to be able to see what you're doing with your electronics at all times. You don't get any privacy at all. The copyright lobby. Yeah, the copyright lobby sort of wants to know what you're doing at all times. The input has the headline, "The copyright lobby calls out Plex for not doing enough to stop piracy." So Plex, in case you're not familiar, is a very popular media server. We've covered it before. We've covered articles on setting it up. Plex is wonderful because you can organize your books and movies and music and all any kind of format shifting or transcoding. Certain kinds of those kinds of things are protected under U.S. law, depending on what country you're in. Certain kinds of those activities may be protected under law. But things that are not protected under law is if I format shift my stuff and then give it all to somebody else or sell it. So with Plex, Plex makes it easy. Like, I can set it up on a home computer, and then I can subscribe to a service, and it'll automatically transcode it for whatever device is appropriate. So if I want to watch my home movies on my phone, which maybe has a crappy internet connection, it'll handle all of that for me, and there's a subscription service, like a subscription fee, for being able to run that app on my phone and some other devices. And it's, you know, $3 to $5 a month, $6 a month. There's a lifetime access pass. But what's happening is it's getting popular because it's an experience that people want to have. I mean, imagine. It's like,
well, there's so many streaming services now.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would I want to log into 20 streaming services if I just want to watch whatever I have in my catalog?
If the only thing that I watch on Netflix is Star Trek The Next Generation, why don't I just go to my local half-price books and buy up the entire, you know, 7 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation, transcode it myself, put it on a Plex media server, and then on my phone, I can just watch that whenever I want. I can watch it even completely free of any kind of subscription fee if I set
and
up
no ads.
Yeah,
like
if I set up a VPN back to my home network. But, you know, and so the copyright industry is like, what are you doing? That's our profits. We own that.
We own that, and we get ads for it. And we also do licensing fees with all the streaming services, so you guys need to pay us for it.
Yeah. So this is going to be bad for consumers because the copyright lobby is going to be 100% behind this. We can never have encryption that we can't defeat. And you better believe that they are going to immediately go to making ISPs police encrypted traffic now. Because with Plex, you can actually add up to 100 other users of Plex. So like if you're in a family, you know, and everybody has a Plex set up, and maybe your family spread all over the country, you can still use Plex to share media. And it's like, oh, we can watch our home movies together. And it's like, okay, yeah, there's the kids or whatever. But, you know, they've got Frozen on there, and I don't have Frozen. Maybe when they're not watching it, I can watch it, which is something like, you know, you could mail somebody a VHS tape. You could mail somebody a DVD.
A VHS tape, but no one has a VHS player anymore.
No. But you can, you know, those things, doing those things electronically, you're a dirty heathen, and it's illegal. You should go to jail. That's the copyright lobby. So this is going to get worse. I think Plex is going to have a bad time.
Yeah, probably.
And that makes me sad. You got to protect those industry profits. Oh, let's check AT&T. Oh, struggling AT&T. Plans
AT&T.
Tens of billions in cost cuts and more layoffs. AT&T is also de-emphasizing DirecTV, except in areas without fast broadband. No, you know,
AT&T, there's a lot of bad stories about AT&T this week.
We called it like 2 years ago. It was like, why would the shareholders not be filing a lawsuit that AT&T bought a satellite provider? Like, that's just, AT&T would just be abdicating their wired infrastructure. You know how easy it is? Like, you could run 1 million channels off of a single strand of fiber optic cable, no problem. And
I imagine people who are shareholders at AT&T probably don't actually know anything about how it works.
Well, the lack of shareholder lawsuits definitely tells me that that's the case. Now, interestingly, AT&T does actually own a lot of, I think, fairly valuable intellectual properties as far as developing shows, or at least their parent companies do, and like the media companies and that kind of thing. So I think AT&T could go the Netflix route and fund some shows. It's just that they're they don't really have any working capital, and they borrowed so much money for the DirecTV thing that I just don't think they have the money to do this, to pull this off.
They won't fail, though. Too big to fail.
That's just... Maybe that would be good for them. Like, they'll just become regional again.
It's like, you know, it's like a kid. You know, sometimes it's good for a kid to fail. Sometimes you need to let them fall down. They gotta learn.
It's like, we'll buy a satellite company even though we're a terrestrial infrastructure provider. The premier.
And the parents are like, oh, you do that, sweetheart. You buy that company. You'll be all right.
So dumb. Oh, before Clearview became a police tool, it was a secret plaything of the rich.
Scroll down to the picture of the rich. Oh, no. You can't see him on this version.
I can't. I gotta do like...
Yeah, because I couldn't read all this article either. This guy looks like Yubaba from Spirited Away. You put some eyeshadow on him and a wig, and he would be Yubaba.
I think that's just a completely terribly unflattering picture of the rich. The rich.
Yeah, quote unquote, the rich. It has a caption telling you who it is, but he's a multi-billionaire. He'll have more money than any of us.
Yes.
Like, any of us being like... us at this desk, plus everyone commenting and everyone viewing this video right now.
Yeah, there's going to be somebody watching that is you know, has like $20 or $50 million, and they're like, "No, I'm wealthy," and it's like,
"You're not wealthy. Like this guy's wealthy.
No, there's
like Yubaba's wealthy.
There's wealthy, and then there's wow. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, Eastern Kentucky is so poor that you could have a reasonably okay retirement just having like $300,000 saved. Like, you could live for 25, 30 years on $300,000 if you really had to.
I mean, people crap on Kentucky all the time, but it does have an incredibly cheap cost of living, which is great.
It's going to be a lot of government peanut butter in that future, but you'll be all right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The next thing is from Beta News. It's TCL unveils a trifold and rollable smartphone.
But so we scrolled through this because neither of us had actually seen this before we started doing the news. We're like, wait, I didn't see this one. He's like, I didn't see this one either.
It turns out it's vaporware.
There's no picture of it actually folding that we saw.
Well, there's
this like one, a weird render.
There's this one, which...
Well, it's just a static photo, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's not... But then it's like, okay, this is what it's going to do.
That's what it looks like, but there's no video of it happening, so I'm like, surely that would sound awful, like that. Yeah, it's like a brochure.
We haven't quite mastered foldable displays, as evidenced by the foldable displays that are available on the market right now.
Who's asking for these? Like, they keep making them, but...
I think that somebody watched Westworld, and they watched the people on Westworld, because they got these, like, paper-thin displays, and they're like, okay, I'm using it like this, but then I'm going to unfold it, and they just, like, a map, and it becomes this huge display, and then they're still doing stuff, and somebody was like...
I want to do that.
We got to build that.
It's like, sir, materials don't work that way.
Yeah, no, it's
maybe it'll be great. Maybe that one will do something the others haven't figured out. That's but I kind of doubt it.
No is not something you tell Tim Cook or the Samsung family. That's Fortune has this story, which is great. Exclusive: for $3, a robot lawyer will sue data brokers that do not delete your personal and location info. And let me tell you can make a lot of money from this. $3, and they're going to, you know, there's so many ad agencies out there that are completely unprepared to delete users' tracking data. There's so many brands out there that are completely unprepared to delete your data. So if they are required to delete your data by law, and you want to have them delete your data, if you want to do a level one special engagement project, do this and see what happens.
And then report back, because I might pay for it and do it.
Because it'll probably be a disaster. I mean, it's like $500, $1,000 for the penalties, but I mean, if you have to do that like 1,000 or 10,000 times, maybe these companies will stop collecting the data.
They seem to pay the other fines pretty, like, whatever, but maybe if everyone did it.
I don't know. In technology news, Ampere Ultra? I think it's called Ultra. Is the first 80-core ARM-based server processor. So things are getting really, really interesting in the server space. We reviewed like the Cavium Thunder X2, and that was a very competent ARM-based system, you know, 4 threads per core. It was a very, very respectable setup, especially if you were going to run something on Linux and something you could recompile, something you could tune. But this is an 80-core 64-bit processor, and Amazon is rolling these out, or if not these, something very, very close. And it is a compelling product. So this will be something to watch, as this was going to squeeze Intel and AMD even a little more. This is extra mega bad news for Intel. This might also be bad news for AMD, because right now you know, with this in server space is like Intel, which is fabulously expensive, but they had price cuts recently, substantial price cuts. But AMD is still the lesser expensive and maybe for right now better option in the server space. But if ARM figures their stuff out and has a well-supported ecosystem and compiler and the tool chain and the whole nine yards, it's going to be a great time to run a server farm. A very, very large server farm, because there's apparently a lot of money in there. So this chassis looks familiar. This is in partnership. I think this is Mount Snow, and I think that they mentioned that there's a partnership with Gigabyte as well. So one of Ampere's servers with its thing. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that's true. I thought I read that, but maybe that wasn't in this article. I don't know.
How many articles have you read about this?
I've read, there's probably like 5 or 6. I think I follow some of the people on Twitter that are actually on the team
working
doing
on it.
Some of the work, yeah. Which is really exciting. Maybe they'll fly me out and I can do a video on what they got going on.
You might not want to be on a plane this time of year, as we'll find out in the latter part of this episode.
Oh, yeah, we moved all of that news to the end of the episode. So this one might not be super long, even though it's a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Gizmodo has our next story, which is, again, it's like the copyright lobby. Libraries could preserve ebooks forever, but greedy publishers won't let them. So basically, this is so dumb. Libraries have to buy a special electronic version of the book that can only be lended out a finite number of times. So if I go to a library and the library buys a special version of the book, which, like, how did that happen? It can be loaned out any number of times. They own the book. It's in their collection. It's fine. For the electronic books, it can only be loaned out like 10 times, 8 times. It varies a little bit. 20 times, 25 times, and they pay a lot more for that. And then after that last time it's loaned out, the book evaporates.
Yeah, just like paper, you know.
Yeah.
It's get handled too much, it just disappears. Except that doesn't make any sense for digital media.
I remember a time when libraries had special equipment for like rebinding books. Like you ever go in a library and check out one of the books where they had like rebound it? And those were, like, I had paperback books.
It's not hard to do that. Like, I mean, if it's a rare book, you probably wouldn't want to do it in a library, but
I had some paperback textbooks on physics and some other things that I'd gotten that were, like, kind of cool. I mean, they were, like, first editions.
Cool.
It's like, you know, Planck's equations and that kind of thing. And they were, like, completely falling apart, but my local library... I was talking to a guy about it.
Binder.
Yeah, and they had a thing, and they were like, oh, yeah, we'll just put it in the thing. And so they put it in the machine, and the first thing they do is just, like, this giant cutter thing, and they cut off the end of the thing. And I was like, what are you doing now? And they're like, no, it's cool. We'll just put the loose pages in this other thing. And it came out amazing. It was incredible. And it's like, yeah, this we can, you know, it's like the binding might disintegrate if we have a really popular book that we've loaned out 100 times, but we can just rebind it, you know, 2 or 3 times, and it's fine.
We actually do like a whole segment on that in the art program with like binding books and like different methods for binding books. And
there's a machine for it, apparently.
Yeah, there's several machines for it. And you can do it by hand as well if you want to be really artsy with it. I never bound one by hand because it's very time intensive. But
well, apparently libraries, even in the sticks, can afford the machines to rebind the books because it's cheaper than rebuying the books constantly.
Yeah. But the cheapest of all would just be to let them use ebooks and just loan them out indefinitely. Like, because
the copyright lobby was like, no, this is ours.
And then the poor people who write the books were like, can we have a penny, sir?
You know, I had an interesting thought the other day. Alexander Graham Bell, the patent on the telephone, it had its 200. Or, I don't know, something about the patent for the telephone was... Patents don't last as long as copyright. And that's what made me think about how insane that was. So, like, Mickey Mouse has more protection under the law than the invention of the telephone.
Mm.
Which one of those things was actually more valuable to society?
Definitely Mickey Mouse.
Definitely Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, it's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean... It's like if the author is encouraged, like the author or the inventor is encouraged to do something by having a limited monopoly, if that's the bargain that is struck, I fear that my argument will be used to extend the term of patents. But the patent on the telephone expired in, I think, it was like the late 1800s or early 1900s. And then, you know, but Mickey Mouse is more protected under the law than... the telephone.
Listen, they gotta, you know, keep making money off him.
That's insane. That is
the same. Keep expanding the Mickey Mouse lore.
Yeah, it's like it'd be like AT&T being like, we need to extend our intellectual property controls for the telephone because it's going to expire, and then just anybody can make telephones, and we can't have that.
None of it makes any sense.
Those are our stories. They belong to us. They must.
And then again,
not...
the writers are just like, "Can I have a penny, please? Like just a little yeah. bit. Yeah. I'm starving over here." And the publisher doesn't care.
Yeah, no, the publisher definitely does not care. Speaking of things that you know need monetization, Apple is now going to let apps send ads and push notifications. I'm gonna call it right here. This will be turned off in 3 months. Apple says they're only going to allow this on users that have agreed to receive ads through the push notifications. 100% Apple is going to disable this in the next update. Well, maybe not the next update.
Sometime apparently, they only added it.
3 months.
They only added it because people were like, well, you advertise your stuff in the notifications. Yeah. And Apple was like, well, I guess that's true.
Yeah, yeah. The whole antitrust thing.
Yeah.
But I think that Apple's going to make it... I think immediately out of the gate, Apple's going to just make it super easy to turn off. But I don't think anybody actually wants this.
No one wants to be advertised to.
No.
No.
It's a waste of time. Stealing my attention.
Yeah.
Speaking of stealing things, Apple is going to pay up to $500 million to settle the U.S. lawsuit over slow iPhones. This is down to the battery replacement thing. Apple does have a, like, as much as...
You don't want to defend Apple?
Yeah, they do.
But you kind of have to a little in this case?
They kind of have a fairly legitimate reason for slowing the phones down because the battery can't handle the draw. The sudden
all the new features that come out, it can't handle it.
It will crash. And it's not the processor, it's the battery. And it would give the battery a little bit more operational lifetime if the phone was slower because it's more power efficient when it's slower. But the bottom line is that Apple should have made it easier to replace the batteries in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
just going to pay
sown.
This fine,
yeah.
And then they're just going to forget about it,
yeah,
and then we're all going to keep paying for new iPhones instead of new batteries.
Yeah, and if you say that you can't make a phone with an easily replaceable phone, the LG G3 is just as thin as an iPhone, super easy to replace the battery.
The free phone has all like the different components you can swap out. As
like
well.
You can slide
or
it in.
The Fairphone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, it's Apple with their engine. Like, Apple, it's like, look at all this stuff that Apple invented. They can engineer a phone with replaceable parts. It's not that hard.
It is possible. Other people have done it.
It definitely
is. With less resources than Apple has.
All right, we're entering the Corona-chan block. This is your Corona-chan update for the week.
It's literally half the stories because everyone canceled everything.
Yeah, this will go kind of quickly, though, because there's not
a lot of substance here.
Yeah. It's Apple, Samsung, and Sony are among 83 global brands using Uyghur Muslim forced labor in factories. Okay, this wasn't actually the start. I was just getting close. I didn't see for the ad block.
The giant, yeah.
This is Chinese production, which was affected by Corona Chan. But it turns out that in some of the factories in China, the punishment for dissidents, which turns out is probably Uyghur Muslims, mostly Uyghur Muslims, according to this story in The Independent, are being used in those factories. So it's an economic thing.
It's so hard. I've been trying to like find stuff that's either made in the U.S. or like has some sort of assurance that it's made ethically, whether it's fair trade or whatever. And that kind of stuff, it's very time-consuming to find any information about how stuff is manufactured. And it is crazy.
They don't want you to know.
Yeah.
They don't want you to. Oh, we had a couple more stories, actually, it turns out.
Oops.
My bad. Hulu's live TV doesn't work on T-Mobile home internet. The reason? Hulu thinks that all of T-Mobile is mobile. Mobile phones.
Yeah, I think it's like hotspots.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, you're on T-Mobile. That's a hotspot. You can't watch Hulu. It's like, no, this is home internet. The home internet doesn't have the same caps and rules as mobile TV.
Why does Hulu have that rule?
Because, I don't know.
I don't think it mentioned it in the article. I couldn't figure out why Hulu wouldn't allow that, but...
The reason for this limit isn't immediately apparent, but complaints and customer forums show that the problem affects Hulu's live TV service. T-Mobile has been piloting the home internet plan for up to 50,000 homes over the past year. I'm guessing it's the copyright lobby, because you don't know exactly where this person is, so you can't show the copyright lobby for cable TV on a map that's like, look, they're right here. We should be able to offer them live TV. If they're on a mobile phone... Mm-hmm. They can show up, you know, up to 3 states away, but if you just do it by IP address, you don't know.
So
what
stupid.
We need to do is add an undeletable permanent token that you can use to look up exactly where somebody is. Wait, we have that.
I don't understand why anyone would pay for Hulu. Not calling anyone out in the comments, but like Hulu, like you have to watch, like you pay for it, but then you still watch ads, and then you have stuff like this where it's like it only works in certain.
I am super annoyed that Hulu has ads.
Yeah, it's not worth it for me.
Yeah, just so, so terrible. The ex-Google employee that we reported on that took all the self-driving secrets to Uber to work on Uber self-driving program, which was ultimately shuttered, has been ordered to pay Google $179 million. That was Anthony Lewandowski. He immediately filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way he can afford that, right?
No, there's like, not a chance.
I don't know what they pay in Silicon Valley, but I don't think he has that much money lying around.
It would be something on the order of between 50 and 150 years to pay that off. Yeah. Not good.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of evidence against him, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did it, but like.
He's probably happy that he's only got $179 million civil case and not federal prison time.
Yeah.
So. Sorry. Not good.
This is the start.
Yes. Supplies of the hottest smartphones could soon run out. Why? I think you know why.
Because of the manufacturing deficit created by global pandemic.
There's not enough Uyghur Muslims.
Maybe.
Dark.
There's not enough.
Channeling Ryan's darkness.
He's possessed you, the demon from your house, Ryan. Yeah, but yeah, there's not enough people manufacturing. Everything's shut down, so. Yes.
eBay has also banned the sales of face masks, hand sanitizer, and amid the price gouging. And you know what? The local pharmacy is charging $4 for what used to be a 75-cent, like, travel-size hand sanitizer.
Are you talking about, like, the CVS?
Yeah.
Because I went to CVS the other day, and they actually have a display up with, like, tissues and, you know, $4. Cleaning wipes. And it's like, oh, you know, we may be running low on some of these items, but pick them up now while you can. Like,
$4 for 2 tablespoons of hand sanitizer.
Go to Bath & Body Works. Hot tip chat. If you need hand sanitizer, go to Bath & Body because they sell it, but it's, like, pretty smelling.
I was actually in there to get distilled water for a custom loop that I was working on, but that annoyed me, so I was like, I wonder. They had just rows and rows and rows of isopropyl alcohol, so I bought 2 spray bottles, and they had buy one, get one free isopropyl alcohol of any size. They had a 51% or 50% and the 91%, so I bought 2 bottles of 91% isopropyl alcohol. It's 1 liter each, and 2 spray bottles.
So my understanding is the 90%, it's effective, but it's not quite as effective because something about, like, it doesn't have enough water content, so it evaporates really fast.
You just use more.
Oh, okay.
And you know how much that costs?
Probably not that much.
$4.
Yeah, because I use that. I use 90% alcohol in my alcohol stove for camping.
It was a little more than $4, but it was about $4, and I was like, this is funny. I have to buy this just for the irony.
Well, it's way better than spending all the money they had at the display with the Lysol wipes.
IBM has stopped all domestic travel for international meetings due to the thing.
The pandemic.
There are so many flights that are just completely empty.
I think Italy's finally shut down completely.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go get in or out of Italy right now.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I might be wrong.
An extra 2-week vacation. What's it going to do to the global economy? It'll probably be fine.
Bury your money in the dirt.
We've been saying it all along. Here's hoping that you don't get infected, but you know, I could do with a couple of weeks off. That'd be fine.
I think we're not really at risk.
No.
I mean, like, we could get infected, but we would just have, like, a regular cold, and we would be fine. We're not immunocompromised or anything.
We could also just work from home, and it really would not affect our productivity or workflow at all.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We also don't manufacture anything super vital, though, like food or, you know, anything like that, so.
With the news program is super vital to all of you that have to work the grind.
Oh, we have to do it, like, remotely.
As evidenced by, you know, all the people that are listening to it at work. Thank you, by the way. Google I.O. Google I.O. was also added to the list of things that... This is not canceled. You can do it online. So they send a little email that's like, hey, if you bought tickets at school, we're just going to put it online. And this is a pretty big event.
When was this one scheduled for?
That is a good question.
I couldn't remember.
May 12th through 14th.
I think there was a Minecraft thing. It might have been MineCon that was canceled as well, that I think was held in May. I'm surprised that Computex is still happening.
Well, Computex is in, you know, at the beginning of June, so it's a ways off.
Yeah.
I did get refundable tickets, so if it is canceled, we're only out like $100, so that's good. I think also South by Southwest, 400,000 attendees, that's canceled.
Wow.
Makes sense.
I mean, I understand why they do it, but it's like, damn.
AT&T has warned staff of product shortages, but IT workers have already seen them. So if you are a lineman or need to get spare parts for AT&T, if you're, you know, getting spare fiber transceivers or, you know, just doing regular old maintenance on AT&T's network, you probably had a hard time getting spare parts. And the reason for that is because it's been several weeks since anybody's been making those spare parts. In a world of just-in-time deliveries, it's very bad.
I'm not saying everyone should be hoarding. I'm just saying.
Jars of peanut butter are now worth $50
MREs.
Each.
No, you gotta get the MREs.
Oh, we've got the MREs here at the office.
Actually, one of the backpacking meal companies, Mountain House Meals, apparently they are not shipping to individuals anymore because they said they were like cleaning them out. So now they're only shipping to stores because like, we don't want our other stuff interrupted. But a lot of people were ordering from their website.
Nice. NVIDIA's GPU technology conference will now be online only due to concerns of the same. That was going to take place March 22nd through the 26th. So that's like 2 months away from Computex.
This is the end of the month. This is like 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, yeah. So that is canceled. Jensen Huang is still going to deliver the keynote and... it's working with speakers to begin publishing the talks online. So the online version of the event will still take place from March 22nd to March 26th. So cancellation of GTC comes among a number of other significant tech that have been canceled. So South by Southwest, Mobile World Congress, Facebook's F8 Developer Conference, and the Game Developers Conference. So there's a lot of stuff that has been canceled. And also Twitter. Twitter's having everybody work from home.
This is so surprising to me how quick, like, everyone just was like, no, shut it down.
That's good.
I guess most of them are in California, where, like, West Coast has been more harder hit, but...
I would much rather all these companies just say, no, you have to work from home, because you're going to get that one person that's like, no, I have to go to work. And it's like, but you're infected, and you could kill people. It's like, nope, gotta go to work.
Gotta go to work, and then, you know, the person next to me is diabetic, and I coughed on him by accident. And
yeah, I mean, it's just... It's going to be really, really bad for a lot of reasons, and... The mortality rate is very bad. And it is like...
It's not terrible. I think...
I'm kind of worried about it. You know, I don't know.
It's not terrible. I think we'll be fine, but it's not great.
We'll survive, sure, but...
Might be a little rough for the next year.
If you make it till Friday we've got robots, social, and nonsense. So we'll see you then.
See you guys. Bye.